The text for the sermon is the lesson which was just read. Let us pray. Lord God, Most High, Holy Father, pour out the power of your Holy Spirit into our midst at this time, that we can better understand the miracle and mystery and meaning which came at the announcement of the birth of Jesus. Help us in all of our needs, especially help us be effective messengers of the truth of your word, its power and salvation, to those to whom we minister. And fulfill in our lives the promise of the unending kingdom, which the Holy Child of Nazareth brought to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, those joyous gospel words in the text. Blessed art thou, the grace of God, the favor of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We have this joyous Advent Christmas message, and then we look at the context of the culture to which we bring it. Just a week ago today, the Council of District Presidents of our denomination, the joint faculty of our two seminaries, heard Jean Garten, leader of Lutherans for Life, lecture, and she described the option to this gospel message of the holiness and sanctity of life. Those who have found no significance or sacredness or meaning in life. And she described vividly the aborted babies and their what the doctors could do with them when they were still alive, and how they were vivid descriptions of this grinding into ingredients for the chemistry of ointments for facial creams and fertilizer. And I asked her after her lecture, Jean, how can we communicate the sacredness and meaning of life to this generation? It seems that we're on the border of cannibalism. And she said, it's very difficult. She says, I try to meet them on their grounds in their confidence in logic and reason, in science. And that's here too in the text. We have this description of the Holy Family. And for this Holy Family, the announcement of the coming conception and birth of Jesus is so precious. And most important, the source of sacredness of life and meaning there is in the Holy Father. He is called here the Most High, the Lord God. References are made to his power. And then God tries to get our attention in the very use of the language in his word here. The parallelism between the language of the creation of sacred life in the womb of Mary and the hovering of the Holy Spirit, who brought into being that which was not, who gave order out of chaos, in a description of creation in the book of Genesis. That same Holy Spirit, that same language, hovers over Nazareth, this humble village, and brings life miraculously, mysteriously, in the womb of Mary. And when this is announced, Mary can't comprehend it. She asks, how can this be? And God tries to communicate with her, telling that it will be this power of the Holy Spirit. It will be a miracle. Look, he tries to persuade her. It happened already 6 months ago. The one who was barren in Elizabeth, that same power can bring life in your womb, even though you are a virgin and have not had sex relations with a man. And that persuasiveness comes to Mary. And then to Joseph, as described in Matthew. Joseph is thinking that if this thing happens, that she's pregnant, what will the gossip be? He is ready to turn her in. This story would come out differently then. She would be stoned to death. And God also brings the message to him. And so this couple, which could be estranged, this event in Nazareth, which could have come out different in a stoning of Mary, comes out with gospel promise. And I've seen that message and word of God work just like that in our time too. The Holy Spirit working in the life of one of you, you who confided in me. This is what happened, he said. I was sitting on top of the world, confident in my job, just like human beings have always used their freedom. You know, this God who brought order into nature, which science can discover, the logic, the natural law, that Jean Garten and ourselves can talk to people about this logic, the social structures of family and marriage and vocation and nation, all of the sense that that makes. But more than that, we have to deal with our freedom. The problems that come in to our lives when we try to deal with our freedom, that's our problem. That's why there has to be a second Adam created in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And this boy found that out because he used his freedom just like those who have a profane philosophy of life have used it. And the account of Cain against Abel, and the account of the profane view of life and the pornography of Sodom and Gomorrah, of the arrogance of the human being in the Tower of Babel. And so he said, all at once, everything went to pieces and I hit rock bottom. My wife left me, my children left me. And he said, I started reading the Bible. And God gets his message across to us today too. He says, my life was changed. My wife could see that my life was changed. She returned, my children came back. And he says, I'm here now preparing to study for the ministry. He wants to be a messenger to bring that helpfulness to others. God's Holy Spirit and his word, his message is working today too in our midst. And beyond this power of the Most High, the Holy Father, we have the message in our text of the Holy Mother. Nazareth was a humble little town. Can you imagine it? A little village of refugees. No rich suburb of Jerusalem or of Rome. People who were oppressed, impoverished. We know this from the evidence of the humble gift that Mary and Joseph gave at the time of the end of her unclean period after the birth of Jesus, two humble turtle doves. It would be like a little town in Lebanon today, demonstrating all of the drama of evil, how we use our freedom suicidally to blow up, to kill, that which divides people in their interpersonal relationships, group against group. Even as it says in Romans and in Ephesians, the division we have within ourselves, the drama of sin. And so, in this account of Nazareth, in its oppression, its poverty, you have the Mary, this humble woman, this young woman. All of the characteristics of the sacred view of life and of motherhood. Purity, innocence, humility, commitment, and obedience. The doula, she says, the servant. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord, the servant, the one who is willing, in spite of all the risks that she faces, who is willing to do the will of God. Shane Pottock, who was not a Christian, a painter, an artist of our time, well known, was interviewed in a documentary on television. He was asked about painting today, and about painting different characters and portraits, such as a mother. And he was asked, how do you do that? And he said, all of us in the history of art for 2,000 years have had to go back to Nazareth and Bethlehem, to what the artists saw in Mary, the mother of Jesus. These characteristics, the sovereignty of God and of Jesus, the violet and blue of the colors of Advent, of purity of white, of the very posture, how she holds in loving arms her little baby Jesus, the preciousness and sacredness of life, and throughout art, the harshness of the slaughter of the innocents, the refugees in Egypt, and the Piata, the Holy Mother taking down the dead body of her son from the cross. Poets such as Pasternak, as he describes the situation of the birth of Jesus in his Nobel Prize-winning novel, Dr. Zhivago, in a description of the corruption and profane philosophy of life of the Roman Empire that he describes in Rome, compares it, he says, fish. Learned slaves were fed like fish. He says, it was so corrupt, like a convoluted intestine. And he says, into this, all heaped together in the Colosseum, this meaninglessness, insignificance of life. You know, the Romans had shipped boatloads of idols, of gods from Greece to try to find something that was ultimate and urgent in a philosophy of life or a religion. He says, into that heap of marble and gold, he came with a capital H, Jesus, in an aura, like a Shekinah, a light of power and truth. Humble as a carpenter working late into the night. Remembered in the cradle songs of mothers the world over for all time. The Holy Mother, the impacting of the remainder of human history by these powerful ideals. And we can see how that affects life today. I saw it. That kingdom of this holy child reaches out in our time through us as missionaries and evangelists and pastors. I saw it in Georgia Roebuck. She and David, her husband was a jet pilot, moved into a little hill country, a rural area, where I was going out weekends while teaching in a seminary to preach. He was a jet pilot, northwest about 25 miles. She was a professor of nursing about 25 miles at the State University School of Nursing, southeast. So it was equidistant. They had their little home there in the hills. And they came to church, and they found a relationship to God in the sanctity of worship, in the word, and in the fellowship of the friendship of the people of that church. They found that so exhilarating. Georgia wanted to be baptized. So I baptized her. And then came that glorious Sunday morning, which I'll always remember as a drama of the sacredness of life. I would ask, are there, after making announcements of the sick in the congregation for whom we should pray and we should visit them, I said, are the announcements? Georgia stood up over to my left. She said, David and I want to share something. We're very happy. We want to tell you I'm pregnant. She's about 35. That meant so much to her. The sacredness of life now growing in her womb. And so it was an announcement. And then later, I was teaching here. I got a phone call and a letter. And she said, David got a contract to be head of one of our national air bases. We have to move. Would you come down and baptize our little baby daughter on our last Sunday here? See, it's not only the physical birth, the sacredness of life, but it's that second birth, that second Genesis in baptism. And we see that's all brought by the Holy Child Jesus. He's Jesus. That's what he's going to be called, and that's what we call him, the Savior, the Messiah. He can help us. He is great. He's the Son of the Most High. And his kingdom will have no end, not only in reaching Georgia and David, but Betty. Betty was a Christian, and her mother too. But Betty married a man who wasn't. And later he became a Christian, and he was baptized. But Betty's father wasn't. Betty's Christian mother died. Her father got old. He had land, gas wells, technical training, wisdom, prudence. He could always go it alone without God. But now he was alone. He was in grief. He was old. He became ill, and he was going to die, and he knew it. Betty and her husband witnessed to him. He became a believer in Jesus. And then he died. A week and a half ago, Betty and her husband visited me here. She said, oh, with all of the innocence and honesty of the Holy Mother of Nazareth. How surprised my mother must have been to see my father come to heaven. The kingdom of the Holy Child is without end. With God, all things are possible. Amen.